From the bizarre world of the paranormal to the sinister secrets of the U.S. government, the Black Vault has become known worldwide as the premier spot for anything and everything conspiracy. Now, join me, John Greenwald Jr., as we dive into the research together in hopes to decipher these mysteries. This is the Black Vault Radio. That's right, this is the Black Vault Radio. I'm your host, John Greenwald Jr., and we're continuing our string of fun shows coming right your way with Dr. Roger Lear in just a couple of minutes. Dr. Roger Lear, a man who needs no introduction. We're going to be talking about his research into alien implants, question mark. I think you might be quite impressed with Dr. Lear's history and his research into this very bizarre phenomena. I have no idea what to make of it. And the great thing about Dr. Lear is he's got all the science to back it up. So he's going to be coming on in just a couple of minutes to talk about that. I saw Dr. Lear up at the International MUFON Symposium just about 2 weeks ago that I had the honor of being the MC for. And wanted to talk about this the last time on the Black Vault Radio, but got stuck a little bit on the viewer mailbag, or I'm sorry, the listener mailbag, I should say. You can't see me, at least not yet, here on BVRN, but we talked a little bit about some of the messages that I got, and I didn't get to tell you one of my fun stories from the Mutual UFO Network International Symposium that, again, I got to MC just a couple of weeks ago. To make a long story short, it was a great time up in San Jose. I was about to say Santa Clara, but that's the Bay Area UFO Expo coming up this September. Check that out online, Bay Area UFO Expo. So we were up there in San Jose, and after the conference, I was saying my goodbyes to the audience, and during the conference, I was plugging a silent auction for a lifetime, one of the auction items was a lifetime membership to the Mutual UFO Network. If you're not familiar with the organization, it's the largest UFO research organization in the world. It's got thousands of members from countries all across the globe. And I noticed that a man was bidding on it, Nick Ressler. You may remember him from a past show here on BVRN, on Black Vault Radio. And Nick, who's a young guy, supporter of MUFON, supporter of the Black Vault, a great researcher himself. He's a great person to be around. And he was bidding on it. And I had recalled that he was a lifetime member. I hope I'm not going into too much information about Nick. Hopefully he doesn't mind me doing this, but I want to thank him because he won last year's lifetime membership. And I saw him bidding again. And I went over to him and I said, Nick, it's amazing that you're supporting this organization so much. I mean, he really believes in it, as do I, as do many people. And, you know, he just told me, he said, you know, John, I'm just supporting my friends. And that's what this organization is about. It's just a group of friends. And I just thought, wow, you know, Nick really is an inspiration to not only myself, but many other MUFON members, because he is showing that support. Well, at the end of the symposium, the international director, James Carrion, who you've also heard here on the Black Vault Radio, went up stage with a beautiful MUFON jacket. And I was kind of saying goodbye to the audience, and James got on the microphone, and he announced the winner of the lifetime membership to the Mutual UFO Network. And Nick Ressler, who was the winner, decided to award that to me in thanks to being the MC. I guess this is my fifth year of doing it, minus 1 year, the year that MUFON celebrated the, I think it was the Year of Women in Ufology was the official title. So Tracy Austin Peters, I believe, was the MC. But I've done it every other year, and Nick, as a thank you on behalf of MUFON, he said, gave me the lifetime membership to the Mutual UFO Network, which comes along with this beautiful jacket, which is definitely part of my collection now. So I wanted to say thank you to Mr. Nick Ressler from the Mutual UFO Network for awarding me that lifetime membership, something I'll cherish for a lifetime. Dr. Roger Lear coming up right here on the Black Vault Radio. Stay tuned. Going to be a fun, maybe scary show. Stay tuned. And welcome back to the Black Vault Radio. I am your host, John Greenwald Jr. And joining me on the phone has been a friend of mine for, boy, Dr. Lear, I think we're going on a decade. We've known each other. Some of you may remember longtime fans of the Black Vault and Dr. Lear himself, a radio show, Millennium Mysteries, that he and I used to co-host together. That was a fun time in my life. I miss those days. Dr. Roger Lear, welcome to the Black Vault Radio.
Good to be with you, John.
It's fun to be back on the air with you. And for those listeners who are new to Dr. Roger Lear, Dr. Lear, let me ask you, give me a little bit about your background and what is it exactly that you do?
Well, through a set of very strange synchronicities, I wound up removing objects from individuals. I'm a foot surgeon, by the way, podiatrist.
Mm-hmm.
And have been in practice for 43 years. I think we should mention that. Otherwise, people will say, well, gee, who's this guy doing that kind of stuff? Anyway, I wound up as a challenge, and again, through synchronicities, removing objects from individuals who allege alien abduction. And then once they're out, we submit them for analysis at some of the world's most eminent laboratories, such as New Mexico Tech, Los Alamos National Labs, University of Toronto, York University, and on and on and on and on. Then we compile the data, and that data belongs to every man, woman, and child that's an inhabitant of this planet. So we try and get it out via radio, television, and books. I've written 7 books. Since I've done this, I've been in 42 countries in 7 years. I've talked to people all over the world. The UFO or an abduction phenomena certainly isn't a U.S. phenomena. It's a phenomena involving the entire planet. So that's my brief claim to fame.
Well, it definitely is a great claim to fame. You're very well known around the world for what you do. Let me back you up to maybe the beginning days of Dr. Lear's research into this. I mean, what got you started? What made you think that this abduction phenomena may yield a result of an implant on the inside of the body? Or did you just get approached by somebody that said, hey, look at this X-ray? Or how did that come about?
Well, I was guilty of the hooey factor, hooey nonsense. I was shown a set of X-rays, which happened to be of a foot, and someone was claiming that the two objects in the big toe were alien implants. And when I heard this, I literally turned around and walked away. The section director for Ventura, Santa Barbara, Mufon, was with me, and she begged me to come back and listen to what he had to say. And out of respect for her, I did, and I really didn't want to stand there. And he explained this and that and the other thing. And so I simply said, well, if you think these objects are so unusual, then why don't you have them taken out and see what they are? And to me, they look like leftovers from a foot surgery, because we use a lot of metal, pins, screws, wires, and so on. And maybe this individual had had a foot surgery and something was left over that didn't come out that was supposed to. So anyway, I said, when did she have her foot surgery? And he said, well, never. And I said, can you prove it? And with that, he reached into a pilot-like bag and pulled out a large, let's say a couple of handfuls of medical records and shoved them at me and said, if you would like to read these, you're welcome to. And I was a little bit shocked, so I said, well, if you let me take them to my room, I will take a look at them and give them back to you. And so I did, and I didn't see anything about having any foot surgery, and went back the next day, and I said, well, I think you should, you know, again, take them out and see what they are. And he said, well, the patient doesn't have any medical insurance, and she doesn't have any money to pay for the surgery. And I said, well, where does she live? And he said, in Texas. And I said, well, I'll tell you what, you get her to California, and I will do the surgery without charge.
And you're, so you're doing this pro bono, and you didn't even believe it at this point.
No, I was doing it as well. What the heck, you know, I can take a couple of foreign bodies out. They're not going to take that long. I'll do it on my day off, and I'll have some fun. So that's how I got started. And of course, a couple of weeks, he came up with another case, which was a hand case that had an object in the back of the hand, which appeared on an X-ray. And I had to call a general surgeon to see if he would do that. So we both kind of did these two cases with the hee-haw factor, just to prove that this was the biggest bag of nonsense. Plus, you know, here were two individuals that had foreign bodies that were bothering them, and, you know, it was legitimate. You know, we'll go ahead and take them out.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I began.
And so the testing, you start testing these things. I mean, again, was this more of, hey, we're going to disprove this, this is nonsense, and did the tests yield some interesting results?
Well, John, you got to remember that we weren't planning on spending any money.
Mm-hmm.
So right away, during the surgeries, there were some things that happened that we didn't expect. The first patient underwent local anesthesia. I injected her with enough anesthesia to remove the toe, not more or less move the foreign body. And then she was very nervous, so she underwent a hypnoanesthesia for relaxation.
Mm-hmm.
So she was pretty well out of it. And during the course of the surgery, when the object was first touched with the scalpel blade, she kicked her foot up in the air, came out of the hypnotic state, and just screamed. I thought that was a bit unusual. And then it got even stranger, because when we took the object out, here was this T-shaped, gray-colored thing, which I'd removed at that time, you know, in 30 years, my share of foreign bodies, because people step on all kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
And strangely enough, for an object this size, which was about a half a centimeter in each direction, there wasn't any scar. There wasn't any visible portal of entry, which I thought was unusual. But when we saw this thing and got it out, we knew from the X-ray that it was metallic.
Mm-hmm.
So it was covered with this grayish membrane. Well, we wanted to see what was inside. So we took a scalpel and tried to open it. We couldn't cut through it. Now, believe me, scalpel blades are sharp, and sometimes you could even inadvertently whittle a bone with one. So,
wow.
To not be able to cut through a piece of soft material, that was absolutely incredible. So, for the sake of good medical practice, we just set it and went on to close the wound and then go to the other side of the toe, which we found a smaller object, which was, again, a strange biological coating.
Mm-hmm.
And, again, couldn't cut through it. And then when we went to the gentleman to take the object out of his hand, he produced something that looked exactly like the small object that came out of the toe, again, covered with the same coating. And then we went from laughing to ultimate curiosity. You know, well, maybe both these people had gotten something in their bodies that was strange, but not, you know, certainly nothing that was extraterrestrial,
mm-hmm.
or had anything to do with abductions. So our first clue, which going around the back door here to answer your question, first clue that we had anything was when I got some of the biological data that came back from the tissue surrounding these objects, where it showed there was absolutely no inflammatory or rejection response by the body,
mm-hmm.
and large amount of specific nerve endings in the area which didn't belong there. So that's how we got started.
So then what did the test results show? I mean, what was this made up of? Was this an extraterrestrial substance, or was this something that belonged in the body but just in the wrong area, or what exactly was it?
Well, finally, down the line, we had to start spending money, which was on my own dime. And
which I'm sure isn't cheap.
Excuse me.
Which I'm sure isn't cheap.
No, all this stuff isn't cheap, and I got to a certain point where the financial factor just stopped us from going any further.
Mm-hmm.
But we paid for the biological analysis of the soft tissue, and then we had the coating, the biological coating, analyzed grossly and microscopically, but till this day, there has not been a complete in-depth chemical and a molecular analysis of this thing, which I might mention we're doing now. So anyway, looking at this object contained three things. One's called a protein coagulum, which the audience can picture a bowl of Jell-O.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll add a couple of things to this Jell-O. One is some dark brown granules, which we call hemosiderin, which is a cousin to hemoglobin, which we all know is in our red blood cells. That's the stuff that carries the oxygen around your body. It's an oxygen-binding pigment. So hemosiderin is its cousin. And then we had some striated keratin. Striated keratin, and keratin, as you know, John, is, makes up an industry, a $1 trillion industry of mm-hmm. cosmetics, because it's in our skin, hair, nails, the first few layers of the cornea of our eye. So it's all over the body. Well, those were the only three main constituents of a membrane that you couldn't cut through when it's fresh out of the body. Later we learned that if you dried it out, it would get like the like a shell on a nut, and you could kind of crack it. And then even later we learned that if you soaked it in just sterile water, the whole consistency of it began to change. It became quite soft, you could see through it, and then you could cut through it. So, as I said, today we have not have any results yet on the molecular structure or the chemical structure, but we do know what it is. But we're getting it now because I have a new biotech company which has found this material so interesting that they offered to sponsor a lot of the research.
Well, that's good. That's good to hear. I'm glad that that type of research is going on. I mean, this is such a bizarre topic. I mean, I don't know how else to describe it. Now, we're coming up to our first commercial break, but real quick, Dr. Lear, and we can revisit this when we come back, but was there any evidence of a signal? I mean, when people think of implants, it's a tracking device or something similar. I mean, did you ever test it for any type of signal emanating from the object?
Yes, John, as we've done now 14 surgeries. We're about to do the 15th and 16th. And in the last few surgeries, we've not only discovered that these objects are emanating electromagnetic fields, but in, I believe, four cases now, they have been emanating radio waves. One, which we found most interesting, I was able to send to somebody and get a classified document as to where this wave stood in the spectrum. And we find out that I hope you're sitting down. It's a deep space fixed or mobile communication frequency.
Weird. Wow, that is bizarre.
Yeah, weird is correct.
Well, you're listening to the Black Vault Radio and Dr. Roger Lear with an absolutely amazing tale of his research and removal of alien implants or alleged alien implants. More with Dr. Lear when we're coming up. If you're listening via theblackvault.com, feel free to surf while you're listening. Just open up a new browser window and visit Dr. Lear online at www.alienscalpel.com. That's his website. And also coming up, if you're interested in meeting Dr. Lear, he'll be appearing at the Central Coast Science UFO Symposium this weekend, August 16th through the 17th. CentralCoastScience-UFOSymposium.com. Check it out. We'll be right back with Dr. Lear. Welcome back to the Black Vault Radio. I'm your host, John Greenwald Jr. Joining me on the telephone, Dr. Roger Lear. Dr. Lear, thank you for joining me and sharing your story with the Black Vault Radio. Dr. Lear, did I lose you?
No.
Okay, great. Well, welcome back. Before we went to break, we were talking a little bit about the signals that you detected emanating from these mysterious objects found in the body, which I find just absolutely fascinating. Let me ask you, Dr. Lear, in your opinion, what does that mean?
Well, John, it has certain surprising implications. If these objects are truly non-terrestrial, I even hate to use that word, as things go on, things get more confusing, so we don't know whether to call these intelligence extraterrestrials or non-terrestrials, or something. Best just call them intelligence. It's something made by somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Why would they need a mundane human radio frequency to communicate? So if you stop and think about that, there's only one reason. Evidently, there's information sharing going on. And so maybe these are part of programs which are so black that there is a cooperation going on between intelligences from elsewhere and human beings.
Now, after everything that you've seen, are you 100% convinced that this is extraterrestrial, that these objects are extraterrestrial or put there by an extraterrestrial entity?
Well, you know, as I said, I hate to use the word extraterrestrial anymore, mm-hmm. because we don't know, like Whitley Strieber calls them the visitors. Well, we don't know whether the visitors are time travelers, whether they come from the inner Earth, from another dimension which is parallel to ours. Whether they come from another planet in our galaxy or some planet in another galaxy, or whether they travel through black holes, or whether they're intelligence from another universe.
Mm-hmm.
So how in the world do we have the right to even put a name on them?
Yeah, well, you've got a point there.
Strangely enough, now, every day, there's more evidence coming forth to indicate that all of this stuff is something that has been created here. And with that, we have a secret technology which has been going on for a long, long time, and that our own science may be advanced hundreds of years past what academic science has to offer. So I don't know how to answer your question.
I think you did a good enough job. Now, let me ask you this million-dollar question. Why isn't this all over the news? You'd think, I mean, you've got the science to back it up. You're not trying to make a wild claim like some people are, and they get the news time. I know you've been on many television shows and many news broadcasts, but you'd think that there would be a much bigger deal about this topic, unless I'm wrong.
Well, you would think so, but, you know, it goes back to the fact of the illustration I have of with the public planet, panic if they knew there were visitors or non-terrestrials visiting here. Let's say a big 3-football-sized craft landed on the Hollywood freeway during rush hour. Would there be a panic? And I would say absolutely yes. Everybody would be on their cell phone calling Caltrans to get it moved because they had to get home.
Yes, it's a traffic jam. Who cares that ETs revealed themselves? It's a traffic jam.
Right. Not that they came, 10 trillion miles or light years from space, but that it's there and they got to get home. So I think that would be the panic. By the same token, this information which seems to be seeping forth, disclosure is happening. For those folks that want to know when it's going to happen, it's happening now. There's constant bombardment on the news of stuff that's coming out, and I think when the truth is known, it's not going to come out of the UFO community. It's going to just be there, and the public and the newspapers will get it because of the curiosity factor. Right now, humans control the news. All news is controlled.
Mm-hmm.
And what we get, for example, on your radio show or from Coast to Coast or dozens of others, have a limited audience. Even if we talk about 30 to 40 million people worldwide, that's a limited audience.
Right.
Now, people are getting smarter, so they're going elsewhere for their news other than sitting home during the the standard news broadcast at dinner time.
Well, hopefully they'll continue getting it from shows like this one and Coast to Coast. Dr. Lear, we're at the bottom of the hour, so hold on 1 second. We'll be right back here with Dr. Roger Lear here on BVRN, the Black Vault Radio Network. See you in a minute. You're listening to BVRN, the Black Vault Radio Network. Welcome back to the Black Vault Radio. I am your host, John Greenwald Jr., joined today with Dr. Roger Lear. An amazing story. His research, backed up by science, these aren't wild claims. Anybody can check out the research he's done. He's written 9 books, is that right, Dr. Lear?
9 books.
Seven books now. I'm sure you can get them on not only Amazon.com, but check out his website, alienscalpel.com. Dr. Lear, it's amazing to hear you say that disclosure is happening. That's obviously been a topic of debate here on the Black Vault Radio for some weeks now with different guests, some saying it is happening, others saying that it isn't. And you believe that when this happens, it's not going to come from the UFO community, which I find an interesting statement, because when you do look at the news, anybody can go to news.google.com, search for UFO. It's amazing to see how many UFO headlines are really out there right now. So do you think the media is finally taking this topic seriously?
I think they're taking it a little more seriously than they did in the past because they're allowed to do so. I hate to stick my nose out, but I think that a lot of news is controlled. There's controlled release of information. I've seen it both in the news media and the entertainment media. But again, I think the information is happening. It's coming right now. There's stuff out. You got to kind of read between the lines. I've had someone else who I have a thorough faith in, that's an insider, who tells me one of the avenues they're going to release this information is through academic science. First to academic science, and then to the public. That's only one methodology. The other methodology is that people are going to start finding things all over the world. There's going to be strange things. Like I just got an email today telling me about a rock that was found in Roswell. And it's about 2.5 inches across, and it has an inscription like was seen in a crop circle, which were the phases of the moon and eclipse of the sun. A rock, all of a sudden, something pops up. In Bolivia, there was the crash of a meteorite, but the meteorite didn't make a trough. It made a hole, which immediately filled up with water, and hundreds of people went to see it, and they all became ill.
So interesting.
There's stuff that's happening. It's every day, all around the world. There's more sightings now than ever. I just had a sighting the other night of some strange vehicle coming down the Santa Rosa Valley with my daughter. It just goes on and on and on.
And there's a lot of UFO activity, actually, up there where you are. You and I were about 45 minutes or so apart. You're around the Ventura, Santa Barbara area. Is that correct?
Right. That's
and
correct.
And it's a big hot spot up there. Is that an accurate statement? I mean, I hear a lot of activity up there.
Yes, there always has been. But you have to remember, this is also an area which is probably ringed with underground facilities from China Lake to the Rocketdyne facility. So, and then on the coast, we've got antenna dishes that go out over the water. Nobody knows who owns them. There's phony signs on them. We've got Point Magoo Naval Air Station. There's all kinds of military stuff that's surrounding this area.
Yeah, I must say, it's a beautiful area. I go hiking up in that area all the time, and it's a beautiful area. But like you said, lots of activity going on up there. AlienScalpel.com. Check out Dr. Lear on the internet. And if you're interested in getting some FaceTime with Dr. Lear, getting some autographs of his multiple books that are released, you have that opportunity this weekend, August 16th and the 17th in Santa Maria, California. If you're interested in going to Santa Maria or around the area, you can attend the Central Coast Science UFO Symposium, which Dr. Lear is going to be the master of ceremonies. I believe you're also doing a presentation or two. Is that right, Dr. Lear?
Yes, I'll be doing one formal 1-hour presentation.
Fantastic. So you have the opportunity to see Dr. Lear. Also, you can check out more information about this conference online at www.centralcoastscience-ufosymposium.com. You can also find the link via the Black Vault Radio Network page. If you're listening on that site, just go ahead and click on the Central Coast Science UFO Symposium or visit centralcoastscience-ufosymposium.com. I've also got a toll-free number for you. If you're interested in registering or for more information, dial 877-937-7UFO. Again, 877-937-7UFO. Now, Dr. Lear, let me pass it back to you. Tell me a little bit about this conference, because I just came back from the MUFON Symposium. We had a chance to talk together up there. It was great to see you again, by the way. And I learned a little bit about what you guys are planning there. This really is a different type of venue. This is very different from any UFO symposium that I have heard of or attended. Please tell me, what makes it different?
Well, John, I've been at many conferences in the United States and all over the world, and mostly the formats are the same. I thought, well, I had volunteered for this position as program director and then got kind of roped into emceeing the conference, too. I just need some more things to do, John.
Oh, yes, because your plate is not full enough, Dr. Lear.
No, that's right. So I said, look, if you give me the leeway to do whatever it is I want to do, I'll do it. So Alice was kind enough to say, yes, go ahead, do it. So, okay. I said, let's do something where we're actually bringing in academic scientists, people who have PhD degrees. Let's bring them on the stage. At the same time, we've got some really qualified, respected UFO researchers, and let them have at it. If they don't agree, fine. Let's hear it. If they agree, even better. But let's respect what they have to say, and let, after this conference, no one on any television or radio show ever say again, including James McGaha and the other fellow,
The other fellow.
Schirmer. Let them never say that science never looks at the subjects of ufology, because they're going to be on the stage talking at the same time, giving their opinion. I don't have a clue what they're going to say. Now, what we've done is to pair up a couple of teams. For example, we took the subject, Planet X, and Jason Martell, who has gained some fame as a software inventor in the field of computers, and an expert on Planet X. He's very familiar with Zachariah Sitchin's work. He's going to talk about Planet X, but also Dr. Tom Van Flandren, a PhD astronomer, is going to be on the stage, and he's also going to talk about Planet X, but we haven't a clue as to what he's going to say. Is there a Planet X? Maybe there is no Planet X. Whatever he's going to say, that's going to be it, but let's listen to it. We've got Dr. John Alexander, a double PhD from Las Vegas, who very intelligent guy, intelligent fellow, who was on the science board of the National Institute of Discovery Science, a man with tremendous background, written a book, very active in war that occurs around the world, and he's sometimes referred to as the father of this nation's non-lethal weapons program. Let's hear what he has to say. We've got a PhD psychologist, Dr. Christine Quiros, who got her PhD by writing a thesis on hybrid children.
Really?
It should be interesting to see what she has.
It should
to
be
say.
Very
then,
interesting.
Then the next pair we have Barbara Lamb, who has just come back, or will have just come back from the UK, with the photos of the 2008 crop circle season. Now, I'm going to make a comment about that before we leave.
Mm-hmm.
And on the same stage, we were going to have Dr. Horace Drew, who was is a world-leading geneticist, PhD, to talk about his theory about who's making the circles and what they mean. But unfortunately, Dr. Drew had a last-minute heart problem and couldn't fly from Australia.
Wow.
So we'll have Barbara Lamb showing the crop circles. And one of the early crop circles this year had a very unusual phenomena. A crop circle was laid out in the farmer's field. The farmer got really ticked off, and the following day he plowed it under, the whole thing. In 24 hours, whoever, whatever intelligence made this configuration, put it back.
Interesting.
So she's going to have photos of that.
Wow.
So we have a couple of new speakers. Bill Burns, who was supposed to be at the conference with UFO Magazine, is out at the present time filming for the History Channel, UFO Hunters. And he was literally forced to go somewhere else on a shoot and could not get away to get there. So the two replacements are very interesting people. One is Dr. John Lerma. He's an MD physician from Texas. He is the gentleman who did the surgery and attempted to remove the object from Whitley Strieber's ear.
Wow.
Plus the fact he's written a book, and he's began to study what he calls pre-death experiences. He works for a cancer institute, and there's a lot of death occurring there.
Hmm.
And he's going to talk about one of the individuals that he listened to and took vehement notes on, very explicit notes, was a fellow who was an intelligence officer who in 1947 went to the Brazel, Mac Brazel's ranch,
mm-hmm.
and saw all the debris on the field and the bodies.
Interesting.
And also, he's going to tell also what he described as far as the craft was concerned. So he's one of the ones that's filling in, and when people hear what he has to say, I think they'll be quite shocked. Jordan Maxwell is going to fill in for for Bill Burns, and we all know Jordan. We know what his subject of expertise is. He's a 46-year world historian. He's expert on the occult, on the origin of religions and so on. But who is Jordan Maxwell? We don't know anything about the man.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a myriad of personal experiences, and some of them involve directly UFOs. He's never spoken about this before. It's always been very private. But as a special favor to me, he's going to come talk about it. So we've got an agenda which should really knock people's socks off.
Wow. Well, he is an amazing individual, actually, and he is also local here to Los Angeles, but I've seen him lecture and have spent some time with him. You don't want to miss Jordan Maxwell. Dr. Lear, also correct me if I'm wrong, but you're going to have Whitley Strieber himself as one of your keynote speakers.
Yeah, Whitley Strieber will be there. George Norrie will be there for a meet and greet. He'll take pictures, sign books, and so on, and I can't get off the show with you without mentioning Yvonne Smith, our world-renowned hypnotherapist. She's going to be there talking about abductions, and on the same program with her, we've got a physicist, a Newtonian physicist, and he's going to talk about whether the things within our own physics that we know right now are possible that people describe an abduction.
Wow. What I find interesting about this venue is not only the action-packed and amazing venue that you have planned, but and all the speakers and all the events that you have, but that it's not really you're attending a lecture, so to speak, but it seems like it's more of a debate. It seems like it's more of a discussion between the researchers that you commonly hear from at these types of symposiums, but also the scientific community, which you don't necessarily hear from as often, and see how they interact, agree, or disagree.
That's absolutely correct. And as I said, I don't know what they're going to say. Maybe they'll be in agreement, maybe they'll be in a disagreement, and I hope nobody gets in a big fight.
Which may be good for TV ratings. You have a lot of media coming to attend the symposium, or is that a type of thing that just kind of happens when it happens?
Well,
they just show up
A&E
or don't?
A&E is going to be there because Whitley and I are doing a new show for A&E, which I can't talk too much about.
Fantastic. Congratulations.
A&E channel will be there. And then we've got probably the local television stations, and there's an ABC affiliate which might be there. There's a press conference which is going to be held at 7:30 Friday night. Now, some of the individuals who are speaking at the conference also draw a press, so we didn't mention at all Paola Harris, who is fresh back in the United States from Italy and now a U.S. resident again full-time. And she's got a tremendous amount of material always to present on sightings, and she was a good friend of Colonel Philip Corso. So, my gosh, there's just so much knowledge available here.
Yeah, I definitely recommend to check this conference out. This is something you don't want to miss if you're in, around, or want to visit the Santa Maria, California area. Check it out online, centralcoastscience-ufosymposium.com. This is going to be an event you do not want to miss out on. Again, centralcoastscience-ufosymposium.com. This is the first annual, hopefully the first of many more to come. And if you need a phone number that you'd like to call to register or for more information, call 87, this is toll free, 877-937-7UFO. Now, Dr. Lear, how excited are you about the event? I mean, are you pretty much slammed with doing media and everything? Do you even have time to be excited about it, or how much are you looking forward to this?
Well, that's a wonderful observation, John. I'm so busy doing this and practicing and the other things that I do that I really don't have time to do much thinking. Three radio shows today. I've been on the coast several times trying to get other people there. We're going to have a medium at the coast that was recommended by Oprah Winfrey. Her name is Marissa Ryan, and she's going to be at the banquet, and she will walk around and do what mediums do. So, and then, of course, you mentioned Whitley is going to give the keynote speech, and we got a little plan for Mr. George Norrie also. So, you know, all these things have to be planned in advance, and then you have problems and people canceling, and then you have to repair the problems. So I will be going up probably Thursday to assist Alice where I can.
Well, very good. Well, I'm sure you're going to hopefully get some registrations here from the Black Vault Radio Network listeners. I can't stress enough how much fun these events are. And again, this is the first time that the Central Coast Science UFO Symposium is being put on, and it sounds so different from any conference, any symposium that I've been to. So again, check it out. CentralCoastScience-UFOSymposium.com. I can't stress it enough. I mean, the venue here is amazing, with the speakers, with the events they have planned. And Dr. Lear, I'll be honest, I'm really anxious to hear about how the scientists and the academia that you have planned to go on stage are going to interact, if you will, with some other researchers that are more fringe, I guess, is hopefully that's the appropriate term, but talking about maybe stuff that isn't in their norm. So I'm looking forward to hearing about what that entails.
We'll get some press and media coverage out of that, John. What do you think?
I think so. If you have a wrestling match up there, I think many more networks will definitely show up. So maybe violence is the answer. Okay, no.
Too, that it's at the Santa Maria Inn, which has been in the same family for 82 years, and they believe that it is haunted.
Really? Well, I'm going to ask you about that. That's very interesting. I'm wondering if you guys planned that or if that came along with the package. More with Dr. Lear right here on the Black Vault Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Black Vault Radio. I'm your host, John Greenwald Jr. We're finishing up with Dr. Roger Lear talking about the first ever Central Coast Science UFO Symposium. Check it out. Amazing lineup of speakers. If you're interested in attending, I know you won't want to miss that banquet, so you might have to move fast and move quickly on it, because this Wednesday is the deadline. That's tomorrow, if you're listening to the premiere of this episode of the Black Vault Radio. That would be Wednesday the 13th. That's the deadline for the banquet. Make sure, though, that you get your tickets for that and register for the symposium. The hotel is sold out, so you may have to find a hotel nearby. But, Dr. Lear, one thing that you mentioned about that hotel is that it's haunted? Did you guys plan this, or did that just happen by accident?
Well, that happened, came along with the package, and there is a room that's supposed to be more haunted than the some of the other rooms. And
that's your room.
It wouldn't make any difference to me, because I'm probably going to be up all night. Anyway.
Yeah, well, good. Well, that's the point of these UFO
symposiums. I'm the kind of guy that would drive the ghosts nuts.
They're going to move rooms. They're not even going to be one. You're going to haunt them, which is a good thing. Well, good. So is there a backstory here? I mean, now you've got me all intrigued about the haunting of this hotel.
Well, it's a very simple. Many years ago, there was a double murder that occurred in this room, and then all sorts of phenomena began to happen, you know, ghostly type phenomena. So people that work in the hotel are very subject to it, and they've kind of accepted it because there's a lot of long-time employees there. One of the things they did was, when they made an addition to the hotel, they built that's a second-story room, and they built the bar lounge underneath this room. So if people heard noises, you know, they wouldn't get shook up.
Now, joking aside, because I was joking that you were staying in this room, but are you staying in this room, or is anybody,
nobody is staying in the room.
Now, can you stay in the room?
Yes,
you
yes,
can.
It's available to the public. Now, we mentioned that the hotel was sold out at this point, but if you call the hotel number, they will refer guests to other hotels. There's a sister hotel that they have, too, so it's the Radisson. It's a very nice hotel.
Great. Well, more information on that Central Coast Science UFO Symposium, go online, www.centralcoastscience-ufosymposium.com, or call toll-free 877-937-7UFO. It's your chance to not only meet George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM, Mr. Whitley Strieber himself, best-selling author, man who needs no introduction, and, of course, another man who needs no introduction, my guest here on the Black Vault Radio, Dr. Roger Lear, who's going to be the MC, the master of ceremonies for the event this weekend. Do not miss out. Dr. Lear, before I lose you, because we just have about a minute and a half left or so, what's next for you? What are you going to be up to after the symposium, of course?
Well, we're going to do the two surgeries, number 15 and number 16, and subject those objects to a tremendous amount of scientific research before they come out. And after they come out, we're going to be able to do things that we never did before, because we didn't have the facility to do them. I'm still working on trying to raise the financing for our full large screen movie, Earth's Original Sin. We've had some scripts out to some interesting places, and this is a waiting game. It's very hard to get financing for a multi-million-dollar movie.
Yes.
But we hope we can move along, and if the spirit pushes us in the right direction, we'll have a film.
Well, fantastic. Well, good luck with that, and thank you again for joining me. Visit Dr. Lear online, alienscalpel.com, and again, one more time, centralcoastscience-ufosymposium.com is all about the conference where you can meet Dr. Lear this weekend. Dr. Lear, absolute pleasure to be on the air with you again. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me as a guest, John.
Absolutely. Anytime. Please call me whenever you've got an update for us. I'll definitely bring you back. And thank you for listening to BVRN, the Black Vault Radio. The fun continues in the coming days, right here on BVRN, so stay tuned. Thanks for listening.